All right. I think I'm on. Am I on? Okay, excellent. You should have received a handout when you came in. If you haven't, I know the ushers will get you one. If you're listening over live stream, if you just contact our church office, we'll be sure to get you one, and you can have that and fill in the blanks later. Pastor has chosen the theme for this year as prayer. Prayer is certainly important. Anything that makes you pray more is good. Anything. Could be something small, could be something large, but anything that causes us to go to the throne of grace is important. And it's good. It's good for us to pray. Amen. Take your Bibles, if you would, please, and go to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 6 is where we'll be. We're going to take a little road trip through our Bibles this evening and what the Bible says about fasting. The message tonight is called Biblical Fasting. Maybe some of you in this room have never fasted. Maybe those that are listening over the live stream, maybe you've never fasted. Maybe you've wondered what the Bible has said about fasting. Well, it's our desire tonight that we would look and see what the scriptures say about fasting, what it means, what it doesn't mean. How to fast. God never tells us how to fast. He never tells us when to fast. We're going to look at that this evening, and I trust it will be a blessing. You're there at Matthew chapter 6. We'll begin reading at verse 16, just three verses to start with, and then we'll pray. Matthew 6, verse 16. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Let's ask the Lord's blessing in our time here. Father, I pray that as we come now to this study, I pray, God, that you would remove all distractions. Thank you, Lord, for these dear people that are here. Some have traveled many miles to get here. Thank you for their willingness to come and hear from you. Lord, I pray you would bless our study tonight. I pray it would be profitable. I pray the devil and his angels would stay far away from us. I pray that our minds would be focused. Lord, that you would teach us, that your Holy Spirit would guide us into all truth. Lord, we desire to do what is right. We desire to obey you and we want to follow you. Lord, you said that you bless those that seek you. Lord, tonight we desire to look into this topic of fasting. I pray, Lord, that you'll bless our moments that we have here together. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Fasting reveals to God our dependence upon him. It tells God that we are serious about a particular issue, a particular burden, a trial, something that we have on our heart. Fasting is done for spiritual reasons. Fasting is a sacrifice. It very much is a battle. If you've ever attempted to fast, you know that there are desires inside of you that are wielding forces against each other. It is a difficult challenge to fast, but one that the Bible lays out very clearly, one that I think we should consider more often in the days that we live in. Now, you can fast for health reasons. We have just come through most of the holidays. Maybe you have found that you've put on more weight than what you desire. Maybe you feel as though the weight that you have right now is not the weight that you want to have. Let me encourage you to really consider fasting. Aside from spiritual reasons, for health reasons, there are so many benefits to that. If you find yourself with some extra weight that you feel as though the Lord would challenge you to get rid of that, let me really encourage you to look at fasting as one of the ways to overcome that. You can also, there are people that fast for various reasons. If you've ever had to go in for surgery, you know that you're to fast. Fasting is to go without food or water because
when you're in surgery, you don't want something in your stomach to come up. Well, we'll stop right there. But you can fast for, say, you're going to get your cholesterol checked. You need to have fasting, no food, so that they can check that. Maybe, you know, ladies that have ever had a child, the glucose tolerance test, right? You drink that flat soda, and then you have to be fasting, and then they check that. So there are various medical things that you can do for fasting, but that's not biblical fasting. Biblical fasting is abstaining from food for spiritual reasons. Abstaining from food for spiritual reasons. Now, let me give a caveat to that. There are some that are unable to fast. Maybe you have a particular health condition that your body is dependent on a certain medication. Maybe there's a certain regimen that you have to go through that it would be very unhealthy and probably unwise for you to fast. There are those who find themselves as pregnant moms. It would not be wise for a pregnant mom to fast, or nursing moms to fast. You need all the calories you can get for you and the baby that the Lord has given you. Also, it could be that maybe you have a demanding career. Maybe your vocation takes you all over the place and there are many responsibilities that you have. There are times where you have to be at the top of your game. Maybe there are other lives that depend on decisions that you make. Maybe there are things that you absolutely have to get right, and it all rests on your shoulders. That would probably not be a wise time to enter into a fast. So there are also different forms of fasting. We're not necessarily going to cover all of those tonight, but there are full fasts. The Bible talks about partial fasts. The Bible talks about, some have called it the Daniel fast. There are fasts that you can fast only from certain foods for a period of time. There's the 40-day fast. Not that it's a fad, but there are specific ways and different fasts that the Bible gives. More than the act of fasting is the heart of fasting. You can go without food. You can go without water. You're technically fasting, but are you doing it for spiritual reasons? The purpose of a fast is to let God know that we are serious about getting His mind and guidance for a particular issue. That's fasting. The purpose of fasting is to let God know we are depending upon Him. It is a heart issue, right? What does the Bible say? Keep thy heart with all diligence. That word keep, it literally means to guard. You parents that go outside and it's snowing and you have little ones, you're guarding them so that they don't fall in the snow. You protect them. Do you know what God says? That's what we're to do with our heart. We are to protect it because there are a lot of things that come at your heart. Satan will distract us from things that aren't necessarily bad if it keeps us from doing God's will in our life. Satan is a deceiver. Yeah. We heard in Sunday school, Brother Adrian said, Satan is no gentleman. He is a deceiver. He wants to devour and to destroy your Christian life. Fasting is abstaining from food for spiritual purposes. The idea is to overcome the desires of the flesh to get the mind of God. God wants you to know His will. Did you know that? God wants you to know. There are burdens that you have that I won't have. There are things going on in your life that will never be a part of my life. But if it's a burden to you, then you can ask God for wisdom. In the Old Testament, there was one day that God required them to fast. That was the Day of Atonement. Leviticus chapter 16 was where the priest atoned for the sins of all the people. And on that day, God said, no food, I want you to focus on me. Now, after the Day of Atonement, there were a few other days that that the Jews added. But even today, the Day of Atonement, you may have heard this before, but it is the most holy day for Jewish people. They call it Yom Kippur. If you've ever seen that on your calendar, it's not till September this year, but Yom Kippur, it was the holiest day for the Jews. Yom Kippur was for adults. They could not work. They often wore white as a symbol of purity. Everything was done externally to provide for internal focus to God. That's what the Jews did. If you have your blank there, number one, fasting strengthens prayer. Fasting strengthens prayer. We read in our text, we read Matthew chapter 6. This is the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus, in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, is giving us some principles for godly living. If you'll notice in verse 5, chapter 6, verse 5 of Matthew there, Jesus says, "And when thou prayest," I think you and I would agree that the Lord expects us to pray, would you not? He expects us to pray. And then he says, going on, don't do it like the hypocrites do. You know, they have their reward. They want to be seen of men. And then it says in verse 5, "But when you pray, do it in secret, because God keeps perfect records." Just because men don't see, that's okay. God sees. Then it goes on. It says in verse 16, "Moreover, when ye fast." I'm going to make an assumption here that if the Lord talked about praying and we assume that we would pray, I'm going to make an assumption that the Lord said, "Moreover, when ye fast," God's going to assume that we would fast. So this fasting, it says, "Be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance." Have you ever looked at somebody and they can see their emotions on their face? You look at them and you just know it's not a good day for them. He says right here, they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. What are these people doing? They're fasting for the wrong reasons. You can fast for the wrong reasons. It says, what are they doing? They're disfiguring their faces. They appear unto men to fast. And what does Jesus say? If you want to appear holy to other people because you're going without food and you want everybody to know that you're fasting, Jesus said, well, then you got your reward.
That's right.
You got what you wanted because you wanted other people to know that you were fasting. But Jesus said, but when you fast, here's what you should do. Verse 17, "When thou fastest, anoint thy head, wash thy face, take care of yourself. Don't look as if you're fasting." In verse 18, "that thou appear not unto men to fast." Now, it's not wrong if someone else knows that you're fasting, but if you're doing to fast so that they can think you're holier than them, you got your reward. And God says, that's it. Your fasting bounced off the bottom of heaven. You got what you wanted. God says, if you want to fast, dress up, anoint your face, take a shower, take care of yourself. Look as if everything is normal for you. No one needs to know if you're going without food for spiritual reasons. It says, "And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Because God sees that. How you pray reveals what's in your heart. How you pray. Fasting strengthens prayer. You can pray not only to share your needs with God, but sometimes we fail to do this. We tell God our needs. We tell God our needs. "God, this is my trial. This is my burden. This is my heartache. This is this." But we fail to listen to His answer, to His guidance. You know what fasting will do? Fasting will strengthen that. You go without food for spiritual reasons because you tell God your burden, but then you wait for direction. You wait for guidance. You don't eat food so that you can take your meal time to focus on God's word. Fasting should involve reading the word and prayer, reading the word and prayer, and listening. Listening. Anybody can hear somebody who's got a loud speaker and a loud mouth. Anybody can hear that. But if you whisper, you got to be real quiet because you got to hear what they're going to say. I believe God often whispers, "What was that, God? What did you say?" When we fast, it strengthens our prayer because we're foregoing food to hear what God would have to say. You're not telling God anything new that He doesn't already know. He knows your burdens before you do. What did He say? Look at the birds. They don't worry. None of them have storehouses. Look at the lilies of the field. And I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of those. You ever looked at a flower and thought, wow? Fasting strengthens prayer. Turn over, if you will, to 2 Samuel chapter 12. 2 Samuel chapter 12. 2 Samuel chapter 12. We'll begin in verse 13. 2 Samuel 12, verse 13. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord hath put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. And Nathan departed unto his house, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick. Verse 16, David therefore besought God for the child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. And the elders of the house arose and went to him to raise him up from the earth, but he would not, neither did he eat bread with them. And it came to pass on the seventh day that the child died. And the servants of David feared to tell him that the child was dead, for they said, behold, while the child was yet alive, we spake unto him, and he would not hearken unto our voice. How will he then vex himself if we tell him the child is dead? But when David saw his servants whisper, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said unto his servants, is the child dead? And they said, he is dead. Then David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his apparel and came into the house of the Lord and worshipped. Then he came to his own house, and when he required, they set bread before him, and he did eat. Then said his servants unto him, what thing is this that thou hast done? Thou didst fast and weep for the child while it was alive, but when the child was dead, thou didst rise and eat bread. Look, notice in verse 22, and he said, while the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live? But now he is dead. Wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. Your blank there is that fasting discerns God's will. Fasting discerns God's will. What was David doing? David was praying for God to intervene in a very trying, heart-wrenching situation. Had David sinned? Yes. Was it a result of David's iniquity that this child died? And the answer is yes. I don't understand that, but that's what the Bible says. David said in verse 22, his servants are like, we can't tell him this. We can't tell David this. In verse 22, David said, while the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me? Who can tell? David knew that he had sinned, and there are always consequences for sin. Always. Sin doesn't just affect you, it affects others associated with you. Certainly in this it did. You don't think Uriah's wife, Bathsheba, you don't think she felt it too? Of course she did. Who can tell? David said, who can tell? God wants us to burden him with what burdens us. That's what David did. He wouldn't eat. He put everybody else out. David was praying for healing and for God's intervening. This was an individual fast. David was praying all by himself. And what did he say? Who can tell whether God will be gracious to me? David knew what God had said, but he was asking God, Lord, could you please reverse this? Lord, I'm not going to eat. I can't even think about eating because there's something heavy on my heart. Have you ever been there? Something is heavy on your heart. Fasting helps discern God's will. Just because it doesn't make sense to you doesn't mean it doesn't make sense to God. David did not know this. He didn't understand everything that was going on. But do you know who the next child that Bathsheba was going to give birth to? Solomon. Yep. And does not the Bible say that there was not a wiser man in all the world than that man? You know why I think God blessed David that way? Because David said, okay, God, I've sinned. Who can tell if God will be gracious to me? At this point, David's got a child. He's seeing him in heaven right now because David said, I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. This text, I believe, is one proof from the Bible that when a child is conceived and they die, they go immediately to heaven. If you've ever lost a child, in a miscarriage. God knows. He or she is with their Creator. And if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I can assure you, my friends, on the authority of God's Word, you will see them again. Fasting discerns the will of God. Turn over to Jonah chapter 3. Jonah chapter 3. Jonah chapter 3. Jonah chapter 3, we're going to begin in verse 5. Jonah 3, beginning in verse 5. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. You see what that says? So the people of Nineveh believed God. That word believed, in the Hebrew word, it's where we get the word amen. We say amen. What does amen mean? Amen means what you've just said, preacher, I believe. Let it be so, I believe that. Here's what it says. So the people of Nineveh, they believed God. How did they believe God? They believed God because Jonah said, listen, in 40 days, this place is going to be ransacked. And the people believed God. So when you say amen, you're saying to the preacher, I believe that. That's true. I understand that and I affirm that. I agree. That's what it means to say amen. So the people believed God and proclaimed a fast, put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. Notice down in verse 8, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn everyone from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Verse 9. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented the evil that he said he would do to them, and he did it not. Your blank for number 3 is that fasting can hold back the judgment of God. Fasting can hold back the judgment of God. Turn over, if you will, to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 18. Fasting can hold back the judgment of God. Jeremiah 18, beginning in verse 7. At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up, to pull down, and to destroy it? If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. Your blank there is that God would rather show mercy than judgment. God would rather show mercy than judgment. As a parent, I would rather show mercy than judgment. There's a place for each one, but I would so much rather show mercy to my children than judge them or discipline them or punish them for being wrong. God would rather do the same thing. Fasting can hold back the judgment of God. God, please don't. We're sorry. We repent of that. And God says, okay, I see they're serious. Because fasting is done avoiding food for spiritual reasons. Turn over to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Second Chronicles chapter 20. Begin in verse 1. And it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and with other beside the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria, and behold, they be in Hazion Tamar, which is En-Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. Letter B there is when man repents of sin, God repents of judgment. When we repent of our sin, God says, okay, I will forgive you and I will not give you what you deserve. That's mercy. Turn over to Esther chapter 4. Esther chapter 4. Esther chapter 4. Let's begin in verse 15. Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer: Go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. Your blank there is there can be fasting for others. Fasting for other people. Esther asked that all the Jews join her and her attendants in a 3-day fast from food and water. I would never recommend going beyond 72 hours without food and water. They, for a 3-day fast, to ask God for favor with the king. You can fast for other people. We've seen individual fasts, and now we come to a corporate fast. What did she say? She said, gather all the Jews and let's everybody fast. Why do you think she did that? Now, certainly, there's power in one person praying. There's mighty power in a group of people praying. But what were these people fasting and praying for? Because if the edict happened, the Jews, they're done. So that's kind of a big problem. They all can be involved in fasting and praying. God, please stop this. God, please don't let this happen. Why? Because they could be involved in the fasting process. And you know what? God blessed them for it. You can fast for other people. Recently, we've been made aware that one of our dear sisters who was in this church is having some health issues, quite a bit. We, as a church, if God led us to do, we could fast corporately and say, God, please intervene. Please do this thing. Please do that. Lord, not our will, but your will. But Lord, we're serious about this and we're asking you to intervene. Not that God is punishing them necessarily, but we don't know. Perception is not always reality. Sometimes people go through a hard time, not because God is punishing them, because God is teaching them something. Job's three friends, well, Job, you got to be sinning. Job, you got to be sinning. Lord, just come on, Job, get right with God. What does the Bible say? It was God that recommended Job to Satan. Have you ever thought that maybe you're going through a tough time and it was actually the Lord that recommended you to Satan? Have you ever thought about that? Nowhere in all the Bible does Job ever know the conversation that happened in heaven. He never knew that. And Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. You might go through the hardest valley you think you've ever gone through, but God is with you. He's always with you. If God said he'll never leave you nor forsake you, that is something you can rest your life upon. You can fast for other people. Turn over to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. Acts 13. Acts chapter 13, let's begin in verse 1. Acts 13, verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Verse 2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Notice verse 3. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them and sent them away. Here's your blank. Fasting brings wisdom and guidance. Fasting brings wisdom and guidance. In these three verses here, there are two different fasts that are going on. In verse 2, it says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted. As they were already serving, they desired to see people saved. What is the book of Acts? Acts is the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the apostles. That's what the book of Acts is, right? If I'm going to do something, you're in a play, Act 1, Act 2, Act 3, the final act, right? These are the acts of the apostles. So, is they're acting it out? What are they doing? Their act is that they want to see people saved. And it says in verse 2, as they ministered, as they're already serving, as they're already going out, as they're already passing out tracts, as they're already going to State Street, as they're already going to their Jerusalem, as they're already going, they fasted. So the first fast was to find God's will. That was the first one. As they ministered the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate Barnabas and Saul for the work one drive called them. That was finding God's will. But notice in verse 3, and when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So the first fast was to find God's will. The second one was to strengthen them to do God's will. It's one thing to know God's will. Okay, well, yep, that's what I'm supposed to do. Yep. But if you sit there idle, you're not doing God's will. You just know it. It's not just knowing what God wants you to do. It's living it out day by day, one foot in front of the other. That's called living the Christian life. First, they needed to find God's will. That, do you know that will be your greatest discovery in life? Won't be finding a cure for COVID. Won't be finding a cure for cancer. Won't being able to reverse all the diabetes in the world. That's not the greatest discovery. The greatest discovery in your life will be finding God's will for what God wants you to do. That will be the greatest discovery. And the greatest journey you will ever have is following that will. That's life's greatest achievement. It's not the letters before your name. It's not the letters behind your name. It's not how big your resume is or how short it is. It's not if you're intelligent or you're less than intelligent. The greatest discovery you will have is finding God's will for your life. And the greatest journey that you could ever go on this side of heaven will be doing God's will, how He's revealed it. Did you know that you are safer in the middle of God's will anywhere in the world than you would be at your own kitchen table? It doesn't matter where you are. If God has you there, my friends, God's with you. You can fast, and that fasting brings wisdom and guidance. Saul and Barnabas were already active in the church. They were ministering. They had a desire to serve the Lord and to see souls saved. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58. Sometimes they say you don't know if the people are following along. So if you say, turn to this passage and you hear the ruffling, it's like music to a preacher's ears, right? Okay, good. They're Isaiah 58, you're following along very well. You all pass. Isaiah 58, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinance of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast ye find pleasure and exact all your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. Notice verse 5. Is it such a fast that I have chosen? That's God speaking. A day for man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Verse 6. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? God's telling us what fast he chose. What is it? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, that ye break every yoke. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health, see how fasting is beneficial to your health, thy health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before, the glory of the Lord shall be thy rear reward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday, verse 11, and the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations. Thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then thou shalt delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Here's your blank. Fasting can shatter strongholds. Fasting can shatter strongholds. If there is a sin that you are dealing with that you just can't seem to get victory over, and I'm not going to name it, because if I name a sin, you'll say, well, good, well, that's not the sin I struggle with. But God, you know. You know if there's a sin you struggle with, if it's something you're looking at, if it's something you're eating or not eating, if it's something that you're doing, if places that you go, places that you don't go, if there is something that you're struggling with, maybe it's a health malady, maybe it's a financial problem, maybe, who knows what it is, God will impress that upon your heart. Fasting can shatter strongholds. God chose the fast for them. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? God chose them. If there are things that you just can't seem to get over in your Christian life, it's not your energy. Ah, if I can just try harder. No, it's not about trying harder.
Right.
It's about surrendering.
Yep.
Any sin is easy to get over if you surrender to the Lord. Doesn't mean that it's going to be simple. Let me take that back. It is simple. It's not always easy. Right? There's a difference. There are some things that are simple, not necessarily easy. What is easy to do is also easy not to do. I would submit to you tonight that it's easy to pray. It's also easy not to pray. I'm not going to tell you that fasting is easy, because it's not. It is not easy. Fasting is hard. Fasting is work. Fasting is sacrifice. Fasting is a battle. Why? Because you have three enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And when you desire to serve God and when you want to do things his way, devil's going to say, well, I'm going to make this hard for you. Anytime you attempt something great for God, you will have opposition. You will. Because Satan is no dummy. He knows your situation. He understands. What does the Bible say? He's the prince of the power of the air. Satan knows a whole lot more than we give him credit for. But 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Get thee behind me, Satan. You're not going to win. Fasting can shatter strongholds. Turn to the last one, Ezra chapter 8. Ezra chapter 8. Ezra chapter 8. Ezra chapter 8. Ezra chapter 8, beginning in verse 21. Ezra says, then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God, notice, to seek of him a right way for us and for our little ones and for our substance. Skip down to verse 23. So we fasted and besought our God for this, and he was entreated for us. Here's your blank. Fasting to discern direction for the home. Fasting to discern direction for the home. Your home. Your home is not my home. You don't live in my house. You didn't marry my wife. You don't have my children. Some of you are saying amen at this point, you know. You have your home, the person that God has you marry, the house that you live in, where you reside, your neighbors, your community, your neighborhood. You can fast to get direction for your home. How can he do it? It says in verse 21, We fasted. Why did we fast? To seek of him a right way for us. If you want to know the right way to go, ask God. Fasting can give you wisdom and discernment and direction for your home. Maybe you're wondering about a ministry. Maybe you're wondering, do I buy this? Do I not buy this? Maybe you're wondering, do I marry this person or not? Do we have another child? Do we move? Do we, you name it. You can ask God for that wisdom. That's what Ezra did. He said, I'm going to proclaim a fast for three reasons. For my home, number one, we need direction for us. We need guidance. Your blank there, letter A, is for ourselves. It's okay to fast and ask God for wisdom for your life. What he would have you do. Notice it then in verse 21. We're going to seek of him a right way for us and for our little ones. You know what that says? Moms and dads, you can fast for your children. Not to take away their sins. You can't do that for them. Jesus did that on the cross. But you can fast that God would give you wisdom. Lord, help me train them. Your children are on loan. You know that? God doesn't owe you children. He doesn't. But if God chooses to bring children into your home, you can fast and say, okay, Lord, I got this little bundle here. Help me to know what to do. That's asking God. He's the creator of life. He's the sustainer of life. He will give you wisdom. That's what Ezra did. Lord, we need to know a right way for us. We need to know a right way for our little ones. And notice this. I find this very interesting. It says, and for all our substance. Your last blank there. Well, okay, first letter A is ourselves. B is children or grandchildren. You grandpas and grandmas, you're not out yet. You still can fast for your grandkids. So children and grandchildren, and letter C is possessions. Because what did Ezra say? For all our substance. I believe that God wants us to be a wise steward of what he's given us. Certainly our body, but what about this church? God needs to give us wisdom. Okay, Lord, what do you want us to do? Do we need this new thing? Do we need that new thing? Do we need that? What do we need, God? We need wisdom for that. You need wisdom for your house, for your car. Lord, do we fix this one? Do we fix this or do we get another one? Lord, what about our house? This seems to be falling apart. Do we fix this or do we get another one? You can ask God for that because that's being a wise steward. If you don't take care of what you have, why should God give you something else? It doesn't matter the value of it. Whether you drive a car held together by prayer and duct tape or you drive a Jaguar, it doesn't matter. It's the value doesn't matter. It's your stewardship does. Okay, Lord, you gave me this. I want to take care of it the best I can. That's what God is looking for possessions, the things the Lord has blessed us with. Now, I want to finish with this. I want to finish up a few things here, how to fast. The Bible never tells us how to fast. It never tells us when to fast. I think he does that to keep us from being legalistic. Okay, Lord, you said I got to do this and this and this. I got to get up at this time of day and I can't eat this much and I got to drink this and I measured it all out and I did this. Okay, God, I did it. Now it's your turn. Right. That's the American way. Yep. Okay, I did this, Lord. Yep. Okay, now it's you. Okay, insurance company, I did this, this, and this. Hold up your end of the bargain. Yeah. God's not an insurance policy. Right. God wants us to fast from the heart. How can this happen, okay? You fast unto the Lord and not unto men. If it's a private matter that you're dealing with, I would encourage you to make fasting a private matter. The hardest part of fasting is not abstaining from food. That's not the hardest part. That's hard. It's a challenge. The hardest part of fasting will be preparing yourself for the spiritual attacks that will come. God says that he rewards them that honor him. But if God's going to reward somebody, the devil's going to try to do everything he can to stir up the pot so that you won't stay faithful. Okay, so here's some things. Prayerfully choosing your fast, okay? Number one, you go without food, but I would encourage you to have water, right? Stay hydrated. You need to do that. Now, if you're a person who takes medication and you have to have certain medication, whether your blood sugar gets too high or too low, maybe you have seizures, maybe you have other things, consult your healthcare provider. Also, you could go without no food or no water. I would not do that longer than 72 hours. That is not a wise thing to do, but let me encourage you, if you're going to go without food, to at least have water. I would encourage you that if you're going to start fasting, that you would skip the evening meal. Eat your breakfast, eat lunch, whatever time. Now, everybody's schedule is different, right? You know what's good for you. But I would encourage you to forego the evening meal. Why? Let's say you eat breakfast at 8, you eat lunch at noon or 1. Don't eat anything the rest of the day and take all of that time. And instead of the effort you would do in preparing a meal, sitting down with your family and doing that, take that time and say, okay, Lord, I need some spiritual food. Lord, give me wisdom. Give me guidance, Lord. Here's what I'm doing. People usually fast because they have a burden. They have a trial. They have a heartache. They have something that they need wisdom from God for. Your burden is different than my burden. We're to bear one another's burdens, and I need to know what your burden is, but you're not to carry my burden. I can't say, well, this is my burden. Here you go. Well, that's not fair. God says, no, that's your burden. Sometimes if you give your burden to someone else and they overcome that burden, you don't get the blessing. Skip one meal. Go without the evening meal. Then if you're going to do that, you wake up the next day, you eat breakfast. And if you're just new to fasting, if you've never done it before, I would take a couple days and I would just go without the evening meal and you work your way up to fasting. You can forego some sleep. Sleep is wonderful. We need sleep. Some people require more sleep than others. But you can say, you know what? I'm not going to go to bed at this time. I'm going to push my time a little bit back because I'm really going to focus on that. That's, again, just another way to overcome a desire of the flesh so that you can focus on the Lord. I would encourage you to have no TV, no electronics, no social media. Now, on my phone, I have Bible apps. If I'm reading and there's a word, then I'm like, I wonder what the Hebrew means of that. You can get out your phone and do that. But the goal is not so I'm not going to eat so I can be on social media. That's not the goal. Right? Get off Facebook and get your face in the book, right? Look at this. Look at what God said. So, if you're married, often you may want to go without marital relations. Again, just so you can focus, okay, God, please help us. The effort is to avoid the desires of the flesh, to focus on that. Choose a day and time when activities are light. You know what your day is. You know what your responsibility is. Oh, man, I get out my phone, boy, I got a whole lot going today. That probably isn't the wisest day to start your fast, right? Also, avoid extremism. You're not going to leave here and say, well, starting tomorrow, babe, we're going to fast the whole month of February. I'm telling you that is not wise, right? Avoid extremism. I mean, even a day for some people, if you've never fasted, is extreme, right? Work up to that, okay? It's a heart issue. Fasting doesn't impress God. Did you know that? You're not doing something to earn the favor of God. That's legalism. You're doing it as a heart issue. I remember when Nova was a little boy, we lived over in Kenosha, and we were pastoring over there, and we was just sitting down for the evening meal, and I said, Nova, would you like to pray for the meal? He said, yeah, what do I pray for, Dad? I said, well, just, you know, thank God for the food and what's before us, and, you know, just talk to God. I'll never forget. He bowed his head and he said, Lord, thank you for that carrot and that carrot and that carrot and that carrot and that carrot. I thought, you know, out of the mouth of babes. Yes. When was the last time you thanked God for every carrot in your life? When was the last time you took time to say, okay, Lord, and you know what fasting will do? Fasting will open your eyes to things that are all around you that you never saw. Why? Because we're so busy. We don't take the time to stop. When you break a fast, do it slowly. If you've worked your way up and you've fasted for 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, a week, 2 weeks, if you've done that and you're going to break your fast, your stomach shrinks if you don't have food in it. So you can't say, oh man, I've fasted for 14 days now, day 15, it is a big meal. You will regret that. You get into it lightly. I would encourage you to eat fruit. A mild fruit that you can have, it'll slowly raise your blood sugar and it will get you back into it, right? Typically, however long you've fasted, cut that in half and that's kind of where you're going to be to get back to your normal meal, roughly, okay? There are times where you can tell other people that you're fasting and there are other times where you would avoid telling them. So if I'm going to fast, I will most often tell my wife, if I'm going to be around her or if, you know, she's going away for a few times and I don't need to tell her, then I can just fast myself. I would encourage you to tell your spouse, if you prepare a big meal and they sit down and he doesn't eat, you'll wonder if you burned the meatloaf again. He won't want to eat it, right? You let them know. But the goal, any one of you could be fasting here tonight, any one of you, and I could never know it, and that's fine. Because you fast unto the Lord. Anything that makes us pray more is good. Anything. And young people, let me encourage you that if you want to fast, let me encourage you to talk to your parents about that. Because it's a big deal. People can get in a lot of medical trouble if they don't know what they're doing. But you know what? I believe that God blesses obedience. And I believe that that would be something we ought to consider. I'm going to ask every head bowed and every eye closed. Pastor's going to come and close as he sees fit. Let me encourage you to let the Lord work on your heart. Nothing I said, but make sure that God would have your heart. Maybe you've wondered about fasting and what that means. I'd be more than happy to talk to you privately, individually. You have my contact info. You can reach out to me. Certainly go to Pastor. We want to help you do this. Fasting is something that I believe the Lord blesses.